Kia ora and welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 204. Today is Monday, March 22nd, 2010. Well, we are in the final week of my third year of podcasting, if that makes any sense. And so this week I'm podcasting every day. Now, I have already asked 8 questions all up, including bonus questions. And so we're getting very close to being able to have a second entry. And that's how this competition works. All you need to do is to write down the question number that I ask and the correct answer. Once you have 5 answers and questions and correct answers, you send them to me and you go in the draw to win the Kiwi prize pack. You can enter as many times as you want as long as you have 5 different questions and answers. And very soon there will be a second opportunity for people to enter who already have. And of course, those of you who haven't still have time. It's a kind of a funny thing because in a radio show, if this were a radio show, I would ask the question, you'd have that one chance to get it down, and if you missed it, oh, well, you're out of luck. But of course, these are podcasts, and that means you can go back and listen for anything that you've missed. So those of you who haven't entered the competition yet, you still have the opportunity to do so. I've received 1 entry by fax. Thank you very much. And again, I neither confirm nor deny any entrant, but that meant that my phone line is secure for another month. And that was a very good thing. You can enter by fax, you can enter by email, you can even ring the listener line and leave your answers if you want. I won't play it on the podcast, obviously, because I don't want to disadvantage you. But we have, as I said, 8 questions asked. So let's go right into another one. And this is actually question number 7, because remember, there are 2 bonus questions. This is question number 7. Today, March 22nd, is an anniversary of sorts. On this day in 1994, The Piano won its Oscars. And Anna Paquin, who's probably better known now for True Blood, won an award for Best Supporting Actress, and she was the first Kiwi to win an acting Oscar. And, of course, Holly Hunter also won an Oscar, and Jane Campion won for Best Screenplay. Now, the screenplay supposedly is based on the novel The Story of a New Zealand River. There's some dispute about that. But what I only learned just today, when I was doing some research for my questions, was that Holly Hunter actually played her own piano pieces in the movie, and she taught Anna Paquin sign language for her role. So I did not know that until today. So Holly Hunter got 3 credits in the film. So question number 7. What year did Anna Paquin become the first New Zealander to win an acting Oscar? The answer is 1994. Okay, that's now a total of 9 questions and answers. Will there be another one today? I wonder. Now, I have a sort of unusual topic today. I saw an article on Yahoo over the weekend about debit cards. And when I read through it, I saw such a huge contrast between the way things are in the U.S. and the way things are in New Zealand. I thought I could go over that and just share some things about everyday life in New Zealand that are quite different from the way they are in the U.S. So I'm going to do that today. But first, I have a very serious matter to deal with, a very, very serious matter to deal with. I have been wronged. I've been defamed even by the international podcasting celebrity, Big Fatty. On his show at the end of last week, number 555, he had this to say.
Tamari Satney, except for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, which are, of course, are in the future, although I think Arthur jumped the gun a little bit. Jumped the gun a little bit, y'all, because he put out a show that was dated for Friday, and he said it was the first day of fall. No, Big Freddy, the first day of fall in the Southern Hemisphere and the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere is March 20th. That is the correct day, and I believe that they have it wrong in the New Zealands.
However, Big Fatty is, of course, wrong, because this is what I actually said. It is autumn in the Southern Hemisphere. Well, technically, that doesn't start for a couple of days yet at the autumnal equinox, but a lot of people consider that autumn actually begins on the first of the month. Well, whatever. It's clear that we're sliding into autumn. Now, what I was clearly saying was that we were moving into fall. I noted that the autumnal equinox wasn't officially for a couple of days at that point, and I also noted that some people said that that autumn began on the 1st of March. I didn't take a position either way. I merely noted both. Big Fatty owes me an apology. Okay, now on to the main topic today, which was this article that I saw on Yahoo. Now, it was provided by a company that sells information about credit cards and debit cards and all that sort of stuff. And I gather that they help people get them, probably for a fee. So this is the sort of thing where they say things to drum up their own business, but also to sound credible. I'm just giving you the background to what this is about, because some of it's a bit suspicious. But it's a list of 10 places not to use your debit card. Now, I want to start first just with this whole thing about debit card, because in New Zealand, there are actually two different kinds. By far and away, the most common version of a debit card is what we call an EFTPOS card, E-F-T-P-O-S, which stands for Electric Funds Transfer Point of Sale. And it takes the money directly out of your check account, but you can't use it online because it's not linked to any credit card network. You can only use it at retailers who have this, you know, a card reader where you can do that, which is pretty much everything in New Zealand nowadays. And it's probably the most common way that people spend money. I mean, I almost never have cash on me. I always use the EFTPOS card. So in New Zealand, a debit card, more often than not, is probably that kind of card. We have started to get the kind that are linked through the Visa network, because all of our main trading banks, the big trading banks, are all owned by Australian banks. And they introduced them into Australia about, a few months to a year before they introduced them here. But they're still kind of lagging behind, partly because of fees and other issues. But be that as it may, far and away the most common debit cards in New Zealand just take the money directly out of your checking account, and they can only be used for retailers and not online. Okay, so that sort of establishes the background. And there's no actual fee, usually, for making an FPOS transaction. It depends on the arrangement you have with your bank. Some people do pay for each transaction. Some people don't if they have total business with a bank above a certain amount, like, say, mortgages and credit cards and loans and savings, whatever. They just take the total value of your business with the bank, and then they don't charge you for FPOS fees, which is our situation. Other banks do charge per transaction. But even those that do charge less than if you take money out of an ATM. So the best thing to do is, if you're shopping, to say get $20 more than the bill rather than go to an ATM and take $20 out. But anyway, the first place they say not to use a debit card is online. And as I already said, most people can't use a debit card online. They can only use one that's linked through a Visa. And they usually call it like a Visa debit or something like that. And so that's not really relevant for New Zealand. Anyone who does want that sort of card can certainly get one, but it's not really terribly relevant to New Zealand, for most people anyway. But in the U.S. it also gets into things like consumer protection and things like that, which varies a little bit. And those things aren't terribly relevant to us either, but that's going to become a little bit more obvious in some of the other ones I talk about. They say, number two, don't use it for big ticket items. They say with a big ticket item, a credit card is safer because the credit card offers dispute rights if something goes wrong, and with whatever it is you've bought, a good or service or what have you. And this is with a credit card, you have fewer problems. Now, that's not true in New Zealand. They say, in addition, some cards will also offer extended warranties. And in some situations, such as buying electronics or renting a car, some credit cards will also offer additional property insurance to cover them. Now, that part is also true in New Zealand. If you use a credit card, depending on what kind of credit card it is, very often you'll get insurance to cover you in case, say, it's stolen out of your car before you get it home, for instance. However, the rest of it is not true in New Zealand, and I'll tell you why. We have a thing in New Zealand called the Consumer Guarantees Act. And that means that anything you purchase in a store has to be suitable for the purpose that it's for. For instance, if you buy a microwave, it has to be suitable for use as a microwave. If you buy a washing machine, it has to be suitable for use as a washing machine. If it fails, the store has to either repair it or replace it, or refund your money. That's the third option. This isn't open to discussion. And the thing is that all of these products have to have a minimum reasonable life expectancy. So, for example, if a typical product lasts 5 years and it fails at 3 years, the store still has to repair, replace, or refund. So extended warranties in New Zealand are really pointless and worthless. And some stores sell them, and it's what we call money for jam, because they charge a lot of money for those, and and they're totally unnecessary because the Consumer Guarantees Act already protects you for all of that. So those provisions of a credit card are, those protections of a credit card are irrelevant, extended warranties and disputes resolution, because it's already covered by consumer law here in New Zealand. Number three, deposit required. It says that if you rent something and they require a large deposit, if you use a cash card, then your money is tied up, a debit card, your money is tied up, and you should therefore use a credit card. That is technically true in New Zealand as well, I suppose, but is generally speaking, what happens is once you go in and you return the goods or service and they see that everything's fine, they immediately reverse the charge, and there's no waiting period. So it's not like a credit card where if they put they pre-approve a larger amount than they need, that takes a day or two to be released. In New Zealand, they reverse the deposit transaction, and it's instantly back in your account. So that's not really relevant here either. Number four, restaurants. And I'm going to read all of this because this just astounded me. This is a quote. "To me, it's dangerous," says Gary Foreman, editor of the frugality-minded website The Dollar Stretcher. "You have so many people around." Foreman bases his conclusions on what he hears from readers. Anecdotally, the cases that I'm hearing of credit or debit information being stolen, as often as not, it's in a restaurant, he says. The danger? Restaurants are one of the few places where you have to let cards leave your sight when you use them. But others think that avoiding such situations is not workable. The, quote, conventional advice of don't let the card out of your sight, that's just not practical, says Tiffany, who's quoted earlier. The other problem with using a debit card at restaurants, some establishments will approve the card for more than your purchase amount because presumably you intend to leave a tip. So the amount of money frozen on the transaction could be quite a bit, more than the amount of your tab, and it could be quite a few days before you get the cash back in your account. Okay, first things first, as I just said, if you do something with a debit card and it's in excess of the actual amount, it's immediately reversed and immediately back into your account, certainly within hours, if not immediately. Depends on your bank, I suppose. So that part's not relevant. But the other thing is, in New Zealand, you almost never give your credit card to, say, a waiter to take up to be rung up for your meal. You almost always, almost without exception, get up from your table and go to the cash register and pay in person and hand your card directly to the person who's just rung it up at that moment. And that's true in restaurants and cafes and brasseries, what have you. Now, there may be some fine dining establishments somewhere where they do it the American way, but I don't think I've ever seen that in New Zealand. Typically, when you go into a cafe in the daytime, you walk up to the counter, order at the counter, and then sit down and they bring it to you. At night, the same cafe, they'll have table service. The wait staff will come out to the table and take your order. But what's the same in both of them is that you'll pay at the counter in person. You hand your card over, they ring up the transaction, they give it back to you. That's one major difference. The other and the bigger difference is you don't tip in New Zealand. We do not tip wait staff at any time for any reason except for the most extraordinary exceptional service. I've personally never tipped in New Zealand, and I don't know anyone who ever has. And the reason for that is that the wait staff in New Zealand, unlike in any U.S. state that I'm aware of, are paid at least the minimum wage. And generally speaking, they're paid considerably more. So because they get a decent wage, tips are unnecessary. And, you know, of course, they also have insurance and all sorts of other things that come with being a New Zealander. So none of the things that they might need these tips for are relevant in New Zealand. Now, some Americans do still tip because they're used to it, but it is completely unnecessary in New Zealand. So chances are, if you go up to the counter to, they ring up your bill and you do the credit card swipe and they hand it back to you to sign, assuming you need to, there's the place there for the tip. And you just cross it out and write in the dollar amount and sign it. But normally speaking, they run it through the same machine that they run the debit cards through for approval. And if you have a PIN number, you just put it in for the dollar amount and that's it. And so the problems that they're talking about for restaurants just don't exist in New Zealand. Number five, you're a new customer. Now, this one really struck me as weird. It says, online or in the real world, if you're a first-time customer in a store, skip the debit card for the first couple of times you buy. That way, you get a feel for how the business is run, how you're treated, and the quality of the merchandise before you hand over a card that links to your checking account. Now, that one astounded me. I have to say, it's overly paranoid. It's assuming that every retailer is a potential thief because you're assuming they're going to steal your debit card information somehow. Well, that's just dumb, in my opinion, even in the U.S. But here in New Zealand, again, there's no reason not to use a debit card because you're covered by the Consumer Guarantees Act. No matter what you buy, it has to be suitable for the purpose. It has to be of good quality and safe and all those sorts of things. So you're at no risk using, no matter how you pay, whether it's credit card or FPOS card or check or cash even. None of that matters. It doesn't matter how you pay. You still have the same protections. And without your PIN number, your debit card information is useless to anybody anyway. So unless they watch you enter your PIN number, even if they somehow cloned your card, it wouldn't be of any use to them. It's not like you can go and use it and sign for it because you can't sign for an FPOS transaction. You have to have your PIN number. Well, there are exceptions to that, but as a general rule, that's the way it works. The only exception is that if there's a power failure, sometimes stores will bring out the old-fashioned kerchunkers, and then you can sign the receipt then. That's the only time where you don't do it electronically and sign your enter your PIN number. So the odds of that happening are really remote. And I mean, most people at an ordinary store would just say, oh, well, I'll just come back when the power's up, and that would be the end of it. Actually, most retailers would say, I'm sorry, the power's down, we can't sell anything. And you just move on. Okay, number six, buy now, take delivery later. Buying now but taking delivery days or weeks from now, a credit card offers dispute rights that a credit card typically does not. A debit card typically does not. It may be an outfit you're familiar with and trust, but something might go wrong, says this person. You need protection. But be aware that some cards will limit the protection to a specific time period, says this person. So settle any problems as soon as possible. Well, again, if you're in New Zealand and you're dealing with a New Zealand company, it doesn't matter if you're ordering online or over the phone or in person, you still have the protection of the Consumer Guarantees Act. So the credit card disputes resolution process really isn't necessary. It may or may not add a layer of protection, but since it's so unnecessary, there's no particular reason not to go ahead and pay for an advanced delivery of something with your FPOS card. I've done that dozens of times. I mean, we've bought furniture, we've bought appliances that are being delivered, all kinds of things, and we pay in full with the debit card right there and then. There's no problem because if anything goes wrong, it's not delivered, it's faulty, whatever, the onus still goes back on the retailer. So that's another area that it's different. Seven, recurring payments. We've all heard the urban legend about the gym that won't stop billing an ex-member's credit card. Now imagine the charges aren't going onto your card, but instead coming right out of your bank account. Another reason not to use the debit card for recurring charges, your own memory and math skills. Forget to deduct the automatic bill payment from your checkbook 1 month, and you could either face fees or embarrassment, depending on whether you've opted to allow overdrafting or not. So if you keep a cash buffer in your account to protect yourself from over-limit fees, you may want to think about using a credit card for recurring payments. Well, maybe. That would protect you from that sort of thing, but most people probably, I would say most people in New Zealand, pay almost all of their bills by automatic payments anyway, whether it's power or what we call rates, property insurance, property taxes, insurance levies, insurance premiums, whatever your recurring bills are, phone. Most people pay that by automatic payment out of their account. Because then you don't have to worry about it. So if you're paying all of your bills by automatic payment anyway, you have to monitor it to make sure that, you know, you're keeping track of your balances and not overdrawing and all that sort of stuff. So whether a recurring payment comes out of your checking account or out of your credit card for that purpose really doesn't make any difference. A number of businesses actually charge you more if you have it charged to your credit card because they pass on the transaction fees plus, so they make a little bit of money on it as well. And using the credit card for that is all well and good, but only if you can be sure that you will pay off the balance every month. If you don't, you can start paying hefty interest charges on those routine transactions like power and phone or whatever. So that is theoretically true, But because most people in New Zealand already have their routine bills coming out of their check account, it's kind of an irrelevant thing, basically. Number 8, future travel. Book your travel with a check card and they debit it immediately. So if you're buying travel that you won't use for 6 months or making reservations for a few weeks from now, you'll be out the money immediately. That's true in New Zealand as well. And for something like that, you may want to charge it to your credit card. But the thing is that if you wait for 6 months to pay it off, you're going to be paying interest on it. And that may not be economical. You may end up paying more. They go on. Another factor is that hotels aren't immune to hackers and data breaches. And several name brand establishments have suffered the problem recently. Do you want your debit card information to sit on a system for months waiting for you to arrive? I would not. Again, that's paranoid. The odds of that happening to any given person are really remote. And just because you can't use debit card online in New Zealand anyway, so that's not really a risk for an online sort of transaction. You can't ring up and give them your debit card information either, because unless you have one of the newer Visa ones, it's not usable in that way. So that's not really a risk here. But there's actually a better reason for using a credit card than they mention, and that's that usually credit cards offer travel insurance, and that's an added bonus that doesn't usually cost you any more. Now, again, it depends on what sort of credit card you've got. Sometimes it has to be a gold card or platinum or whatever, but a lot of credit cards actually do offer travel insurance if you buy if you pay for your travel with your credit card. And so that can be a really good reason for paying for it by credit card. But again, you've got to be able to pay it off quickly, otherwise you're going to end up paying interest on it. So, you know. Number 9, gas stations and hotels. Okay, I thought this was really weird. This one depends on the individual business. Some gas stations and hotels will place holds over customers who may leave without settling the entire bill. That means that even though you only bought $10 in gas, you could have a temporary bank hold for $50 to $100. Ditto hotels, where there are sometimes holds or deposits in the hundreds to make sure you don't run up long-distance bill, empty the minibar, or trash the room. This practice is almost unnoticeable if you're using credit, but can be problematic if you're using a debit card and have just enough in the account to cover what you need. At hotels, ask about deposits and holds before you present your card. At the pump, select the PIN number option, this person says, which should debit only the amount you've actually spent. Okay, there's a lot of different things going on here. It is fairly typical, I think, most countries that hotels will take will require a credit card information to hold a reservation, and they will pre-approve for an amount, whatever it is. Now, that actually can be a problem. They don't mention this, but that can be a problem, because if you're getting kind of close to your credit limit, you could hit your credit limit just from the hold that they've put, the pre-approved amount that they've put on there. But for instance, you don't necessarily have to use the credit card just because you're holding it with a credit card. And for instance, when Nigel and I went on our honeymoon up north, I booked the hotel using the credit card so that it would hold it. And when we actually left, I settled the little bit we still had to pay using our FPOS card. I didn't charge it. And we've done that before when we've traveled in New Zealand. And so that part's fairly typical. You can make the reservation with your credit card, but still pay with your debit card or cash if you want, or with a credit card. But the bit about gas stations is just bizarre. Most gas stations, even in New Zealand, even in Auckland, which you might think of as being more prone to crime or people driving off, during the daytime, there's no prepay. You fill it up and then you go in and you pay then. So none of that has anything to do with anything, because they're not pre-ringing it up. At night, you do often have to prepay. And I don't know that they actually pre-approve anything when you go to fill up your car. I actually have rarely done this. And when I have done it, I've said I want a specific amount. I'll have $50 or whatever it is. And I do it and get it approved. And then I go and they pre-program in $50. We used to have some pay at the pump stations, but they didn't seem to do very well. There was one that was just up the corner from us, a mobile station, but of course I would never go there because they're part of Exxon Mobil, which is a very anti-gay company. So I never used it. And one time I did try to use it, actually, I think twice I tried to use it and it failed. It wouldn't work. And I thought, I'm not going to go deal with them, because the whole point of coming here was because of the being able to pay at the pump. I can't remember seeing any other stations that have pay at the pump. There may be some, but I can't remember them. Number 10, checkouts or ATMs that look off. Criminals are getting better at with skimmers and planting them in places you'd never suspect, like ATM machines or bank property. So take a good look at the machine or card reader the next time you use an ATM or self-check lane in a grocery store, I guess. This person advises, does the machine fit together well, or does something look off, different, or like it doesn't quite belong? Make sure it doesn't look like it's been tampered with. Okay, now that's sound enough advice up to a point. We had an epidemic of skimmers attached to ATM machines here in New Zealand, and what they were able to do, in some cases they would have somebody shoulder surfing behind the user. They put the card in, nothing would happen, the card would come out, but what they didn't know was that the machine had scanned their card. They make a duplicate, the person standing behind the user had noted what their PIN number was, and then they could go and use their dummy card and drain the account. Well, that's really rare. The number of times that's happened, and the bank has always stepped in. They're insured for that sort of fraud. So it's not been a major issue. There was one unusual one, though, where there were parking ticket machines, parking meter machines in certain car parks. And a gang in another country figured out that they could hack into it because it wasn't as secure as an ATM. And they were able to program it to send the money from people's credit cards to their accounts. Now, that's since been fixed. And there were obviously, they should have been more secure in the first place, but it wouldn't have made any difference if you used ATM or debit card or whatever there, and it would have looked fine because it wasn't the machine that was the problem. It was that it had been hacked, and that's a totally different thing. But the self-checkout things, that's really not an issue here because there aren't that many of them. There's only one grocery store chain I'm aware of called New World that has self-check lanes, which I very seldom use, by the way. And the reason is because I figure they're not giving me a discount for using them. Why should I take somebody's job away? You know, they've got these checkers here who are perfectly capable of ringing up the order for me, and the self-check often has issues, especially if you bring your own reusable bags. It doesn't seem to like that. So I don't see what I get out of the deal. If they want to give me a discount for using it, well, then we can talk. But until they do, I'm not really motivated. But anyway, those are the only stores I've ever seen self-check lanes anywhere, and there's no way that somebody would be able to tamper with them. They're right up front, they're right in the middle of everything, and it would be impossible for somebody to be able to put a skimmer or something on them. So that's not really an issue here either. So it might be some handy hints or whatever for people who actually use debit cards or concerned about them in the U.S., but I just thought it would be an interesting way of comparing and contrasting life in the U.S. with life in life in New Zealand, relating to absolutely everyday sorts of things. Because, you know, there are things like that that I would never think to talk about, and that just gave me an opportunity to bring it up. Now, I'm going to ask one more question for today, and this is sort of out of left field. It's because I was looking at Te Ara, the Encyclopedia of New Zealand, just to see about something interesting to say. And I ran across this under sex and gender. It says prostitution. Prostitution has existed in New Zealand since the earliest days of European settlement. And I read that and I thought, duh. But was only made legal in 2003. Prior to this, brothels operated outside the law or behind the euphemism of massage parlors. And everybody knew what they were, but they were called massage parlors. And I used to work for a company that produced ads for these massage parlors, and they were really quite blatant about what they were promoting. Well, as a matter of fact, I have this habit of making up names for things and slogans, or I suppose even. And what we did a lot of ads for horse racing publications, one for a magazine for horse breeders, one for people into, you know, like show jumping, dressage, and all that, and also this particular publication that had all of the prostitute ads in it. So I said that we did ads for whores and horses. And I also said that it wasn't so very different, because on the horse side, people made a living on the back of an animal, and on the other, animals made a living on their back. But anyway, it was an interesting time. I have to tell you, some of the most creative titling that's done in the English language is done with porn movie titles. I'll never forget the one that was a sex tape of midgets. It was called Itty Bitty Bang Bang. And I'm not joking. Itty Bitty Bang Bang. Yes, well. So, the question is, question number 8 is, what year was prostitution legalized? The answer is 2003. So, that is now, including the two bonus questions, that's a total of 10. So, those of you who have already answered, already entered the competition can enter a second time. And those of you who have not yet entered, well, you got to move on and you can have two entries. That's it for today. I will be back tomorrow with another episode. Later this week, I'm going to be doing an interview with a woman from Immigration Equality. I will be doing an interview of a woman from Immigration Equality. Yeah, easy for me to say. That particular episode will not have any questions. So I'm just giving you a heads up in advance. It won't have any competition questions at all. The one tomorrow will, and the one that isn't that one will have questions as well. The reason I'm saying I'm not too clear on which day I'm going to be doing the posting the Immigration Equality episode. I'm also recording an episode with Jason, a Too Political episode, tomorrow. So that will be posted either tomorrow or the next day. So that's coming up as well. And that is it for today. Have a great rest of the day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.